Michael Smith, it is episode 38 of the Canes Cast, so you know what that means.
What's that?
Happy birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Smith, on your birthday, you're recording an episode of the Canes Cast, episode 38. Happy birthday.
Wow.
Mr. Smithers.
I don't feel a day over 21.
As well you shouldn't. We don't act that way, although there is a question about who's older between the two of us.
Yeah.
And I apologize immediately that anybody thinks you are even close to my age.
It must be my hair or their lack thereof.
I am gray. I am honestly cast in a next movie with hobbits rolling around as whatever the gray.
Yeah. What's gray or no hair at all? Which would you rather have?
Gray.
I think I'd rather have gray.
Gray.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
So, oops.
Yeah.
That's bad genetics, I guess.
My dad is threatened that I would not have any hair by the time I'm 30. I've made it well past that.
Well, I didn't win that bet.
Although, maybe I'm just going to start throwing in a little of the Just for Men. See what happens. See if it gets a little darker. See if anybody notices.
I think the salt and pepper, that's kind of in, though, right?
Oh, I know. I'm not going to change. That's what I am. I'm just saying.
I don't think balding will ever be in.
Oh, bald is sexy, my friend.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, there's a lot of women out there, a lot of people out there who think that's the bald is beautiful.
There we go.
But you kind of like hang on. So
yeah, I can't commit to the full Mr. Clean, Bill Burniston look yet.
I can't see you do that just yet.
Bill Burniston,
by the way, TPANC.com.
He's going to have to start paying us for this.
Or just show up on another podcast for us as a guest. Bill Burniston, the head strength and conditioning coach for the Carolina Hurricanes Hockey Club, which we have a lot of things to go over. You have questions, a lot of them submitted via Twitter or Facebook, which we greatly appreciate, which we'll get to coming up. We'll also find out if you like it.
You can take it.
And if not,
yes, send it right back.
That'll be coming up here on episode 38. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, Michael Smith.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to work that in as much as possible here today. By the way, if you're listening to this like on a Taco Tuesday, like tomorrow, it won't be Michael Smith's birthday, but you can still wish him a belated happy birthday.
Yeah, birthday wishes accepted all week.
All right, Mike, you wrote a very good column that kind of put a synopsis on the Carolina Hurricanes season as to where it was, where some of the pitfalls were. We kind of covered this as well last week on the Canes Cast.
Yeah.
But let's get specific, and we're going to start with the forwards this year. And for the next few editions of the Canes Cast, as long as we can put them out, we're going to break down the groupings for the forwards, the defense, the goaltending, and we'll put the special teams in here to play. We'll put the power play in this edition as well. We'll put the penalty kill in with the defense, and we'll go from there. But this week, it's going to be forwards and power play. So let's start with the forwards for the Carolina Hurricanes. And clearly the bright spots, and we've already hit on it, but we can hit on it again. Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen setting career highs in every important category across the board when it comes to goals and assists, so that naturally means points as well for what they were able to do. The question now, Michael, that comes into play for me is when we look back on this season, when you look at their development, does it get lost in a season that got lost, or does it stand out even more as to these players brought this to the table?
I think it's more of the latter than the former, or maybe somewhere in the middle. I don't think it gets lost completely, but I do think, you know, in terms of the overall goal of the season, the Hurricanes did not achieve what they set out to do. That's plain and simple. But when you dive deeper further into what happened in those 82 games, I think you start to notice some good trends, and especially there with Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen, you find two guys who continue to excel in this league as young forwards. And the most exciting part, I think, for me, is that they're only going to get better. A guy like Sebastian Aho, when he figures out how to start scoring in game one versus game, I don't know, 10 to 15,
yeah,
he's going to be he's going to be on another level in terms of what he can bring to the ice on a nightly basis. And Teuvo Teravainen, who I think figured out this year that, hey, you know, when I shoot the puck, good things happen. It goes in. I have a pretty good shot. If he continues on that trajectory of being that more selfish player versus the playmaker first, those are two really dynamic players, whether you play them at wing or at center, Sebastian Aho particularly at center, that are going to anchor this forward group for years to come. So I think when you start to peel back the failures of the team as a whole, you start to see these individual successes. And I think that's the tricky part of analyzing this season is you take the result as a whole and you're disappointed in that. You're frustrated in that. You're disappointed that the team for the ninth year in a row, for the ninth season in a row, fails short of its ultimate goal. But at the same time, you have to be encouraged with some of the things, some of the positive things you saw throughout the lineup. And I think for sure, Aho and Teravainen are two of those pieces. Even a guy like Jeff Skinner, who, you know, after scoring 37 goals, only scored 24. Or, you know, a guy like Victor Rask, who only tallied 31 points when you expect so much more from a guy like that. I think what you're seeing is that there are pieces in place for this team to be successful moving forward. There are pieces that amongst the forward group are elite talents in this league. And Sebastian Aho is one of the most talented player in this league. I think we mentioned it last year that he's probably heading towards an all-star career. If not next year, then in years ahead. So there are certain good things when you start to peel back all the layers of the season, you start to notice some really encouraging signs for the future.
One of the things that was encouraging as well was the play of Jordan Staal, and we can't ignore what he played through. We just can't.
Yeah.
We don't need to bring it up again or go revisit it, but for those of you who follow the Carolina Hurricanes, he had just a devastating off-ice issue incident with his family, and how he played through it and remained, and I believe you called it, a consummate professional.
Yeah.
That's what he is. But his play this year, I loved his game. I really did. And, you know, what he brings to the team forward-wise. And for the majority of the year, he was the center between the two Finns with Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen, and did a lot of the work that allowed them to be creative and get their offense on track. I liked his game. Justin Williams came in and did exactly what I thought he was going to do. As a matter of fact, I think he actually exceeded on the ice a little bit more than what I thought he was going to do, because I wasn't sure who he was going to play with and what that was going to be. I liked his season with the numbers he put up, and then, of course, the contributions he gives off of the ice as a leader for this team. But you've got his numbers right there, Michael. I mean, he wasn't going to come in and score 35 with 65 assists. He wasn't going to get 100 points. That's not what Justin Williams was going to do. But he's third on the team in points. He had a season for me where he puts up 51 points, 16 and 35, in a supplementary role. And I liked what he brought to the party all night long. So those are some good, good things. Brock McGinn took a huge step forward this year. You know, there are questions. Is Brock McGinn coming into the season? Well, is he an everyday NHL player? Answered that, and answered it with an emphatic yes. And I think he's going to be a 20-goal scorer. I'll hesitate to go consistently, but he should be flirting with that mark every year. He should be between 15 and 25 every year. That's not an unrealistic number either for a guy who we've joked about the posts before. It's not a joke for Brock. Our good friend Brock McGinn, friend of the Canes cast as well.
Friend of the podcast.
If the nets were a little bigger, he would have, I think I've joked and said 50, he would have been over 20 this year.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt, that would have happened.
Yeah.
So he takes a step forward. A few other guys had just really pleasant seasons. Derek Ryan, offensively, what he brought to the party. But there is one thing that we can say for all of the forwards, all of them, and it's a minus for them this year, and that includes Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen, the consistency word, Mike. Too often they would go, you know, 5 games, 10 games. In the case of Elias Lindholm, what, he hadn't scored until the last game of the year, 28 games without a goal. You can't do that if you're a counted-on member of this team, and where offense has to be, I hate to say, by committee, but it has to come from everyone. It's just not, oh, we're going to throw player X, Johnny Superstar, over the boards, and he's going to score 105 points for us this year. Everybody has to chip in, and they've got to do it on a nightly basis. Now, that doesn't mean 82 games and 82 goals from everybody. It'd be the greatest season ever, we know. Some kind of record, I think.
Probably.
But this is a team that can ill afford to have players on simultaneous cold streaks. You know, Sebastian Aho hasn't scored a goal in 9 games. And Elias Lindholm hasn't scored a goal in 11 games. And Justin Williams hadn't scored a goal in 5 games. You can't have that. And I'm just using those names at random. The longest you can have guys go on a goalless streak for this team is like 5 or 6 games. And if you think, oh, well, that's, you know, that's a short amount of time you're talking about, think about it this way. You play 20 games. That is a quarter of your season. I'm asking you to score a goal every 5 games in a quarter of your season. That's just 4 goals. That's all you're asking for. And you spread it out throughout there. That's what this team has to find a way to get to.
Yeah.
So that, to me, was the maddening thing this season.
And that, I think, is a theme across the entire team, is the issue of consistency. When you talk about the team being consistent in terms of putting winning streaks together and avoiding those long losing streaks, and it hurts when your forwards aren't, as a group, consistent. And I don't want to stray too far from the discussion about forwards, but I do believe part of what Scott Darling's struggles were this year is when things started to go wrong and he put pressure on himself, there was the added pressure of having to make so many grade A saves when the offense in front of him wasn't exactly counted on to produce consistently or produce a whole lot. I mean, we can talk all day about the goal support he got there in the middle of the season or the lack thereof that he had.
It's so almost hand in glove with what you're saying, not to jump on you there, but I think that it you could tie them together. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think maybe part of his struggles were the fact that he felt he had to more or less pitch a shutout in order to get the win. And I think psychologically, while that's probably not true, he did face a lot of grade A chances, and he did put a lot of pressure on himself, as he told us during exit interviews.
Hey, this is all good stuff that you need to save for the goaltender breakdown.
We'll talk.
Save it for the goaltender breakdown.
But I liked a lot
of
what
correct,
I saw.
But save it for the goaltender breakdown.
I liked a lot of what I saw this year from the Hurricanes forwards. Even Valentin Zhikov and Warren Fogle, who came up late in the season. Warren Fogle, obviously we can't judge too much on, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes of ice time across a couple of games. But he scores a goal in both the games. He does exactly what he did in Charlotte all season long by just putting pucks onto the net, going to the net, using his size and strength to spin off of defenders and gain ice. Valentin Zhikov, obviously a great shot, made a pretty immediate impact when he came up and played. Kind of trailed off towards the end of the season, and that's something, again, you go back to the talk about consistency and being able to be relied upon as a consistent threat. That was, I won't say it's discouraging, because this was his really first, I think, big stint up with the big club, but you want to see him be able to be relied upon nightly as a consistent scoring threat. So good, promising young forwards for the Hurricanes. And I know there's more coming in Charlotte, and that's the exciting part for the Hurricanes too.
All right, let me also do this. It's very easy to look back on the latest thing that we saw and Warren Fogle and Valentin Zhikov and how well they performed in their call-ups and say, why weren't they here earlier? They should have been here all season. Look what they did in the AHL. And I always have to caution people, the AHL is a really good hockey league, but it's not the National Hockey League. It's not. So I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Warren Fogle to see how he could have finished the season. By the way, the Charlotte Checkers in the playoffs, which is a great thing, and a great thing for all of those players to go get that experience, that taste. Go and win it.
Yeah.
You know, you make the postseason, go learn how to win playoff hockey games under Mike Vellucci, the head coach of the Charlotte Checkers right now. Build that winning culture. And you can build it. You can build a winning culture with a core in the AHL, and that culture can follow you to the NHL. But for everybody who wanted to say, oh, these guys should have been here all year long, you cannot say that they would have had X amount of success if they were here. Oh, well, Valentin Zhikov would have done this. I don't know, because he started out a house on fire, but as Michael has correctly pointed out, last few games kind of trailed off a little bit. And part of that is, it is a rugged game in the National Hockey League. As much as we've talked about, they've taken out physicality, or they don't do this, or it's not like it used to be, it is a tough game from the standpoint of you cannot take a shift off, because if you are gliding, somebody's going to hit you, and if you're not skating hard, somebody's going to make you look bad. So that's why I just caution everybody. Yes, it's great. Now, I would like to see more of these young players and see what's there, and I think we are next year, but we're getting way ahead of ourselves on that. The forwards – there were a lot of surprises that were to the good. I don't think when we are going to take a look at what was to the bad or what we didn't like, I mean, we can easily point to Victor Rask's season.
Yeah.
And look, the correlation, if you're a fan and you're listening to the Canes cast here, episode 38, today's Mike Smith's birthday. Happy birthday to you. The thing that I look at for there is for what he gets paid, if you're a fan, 31 points isn't enough. Then you find out he's playing through an upper body injury that he requires surgery to get, and it shuts down his season. So how much did that hamper his ability and exactly when it happens? Because, once again, they don't tell us.
Yeah, and we don't know.
And we can guess. I mean, Michael and I are in the locker room, and especially on the road, you can kind of tell when a guy's getting treatment just because it's a little bit loose isn't the word I'm looking for, but it's more open for us to go. And you can kind of tell guys are dinged, but you don't know the severity of it. Coaches aren't going to give you how injured a player is. Players aren't going to tell you how injured they are. They want to stay in the lineup. So this isn't a free pass. I believe if you're on the ice, you're going to be open to the criticism that follows if you don't produce, just like you'd be open to the applause if you did. But that's one. I think Elias Lindholm, I loved him in the middle.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that, you know, on the power play, he is so good vision-wise, getting the puck where it needs to go, getting to those spots. But 16 goals, that's something, and it goes back to the consistency. And Elias Lindholm will tell you that. And the thing I like about his game is when he turns into the Swedish beast, he is a tough player to handle. So there were so many sparks for Elias Lindholm where I'm like, this is it. This is it. This is the corner has been turned. Here he goes. And he would do it for a few games, and then it would trail off. He's one of those guys, though, I believe is closer to figuring it out than going, well, I don't know. I think he's just got to knock down the door consistently, the way that Sebastian Aho found a way in his second season to knock down the door consistently. And, you know, look, Jeff Skinner, we called it before. We'll call it again. 24 goals isn't a bad season by National Hockey League standards anymore. Except when you're a guy who's counted on to score 30 or scored 37 the year before.
Yeah, I think he was pegged as, and I think rightfully so, as a 30-goal scorer coming into the season. And he fell short of that. He fell short of that because of the stretches where he, for whatever reason, wasn't finding the back of the net. And, you know, we talk about the lack of goal scoring there, but it wasn't for a lack of chances. He was getting the shots. He was, I think, as we mentioned on the last podcast, he had a streak where he went, what, 90-some games with at least a shot on goal. So it wasn't that he wasn't getting opportunities. The puck just wasn't going in for whatever reason. And that's a bit of a disappointment because he's a guy you count on for that 30-goal mark. I think Phil DiGiuseppe, maybe you wanted to see him take a little more of a step. And he sort of found that late in the season when the younger guys like Fogel, like Zikov were coming up. I think he found a bit of chemistry there with Jeff Skinner. But I think you would have liked to see him, especially since he was in the lineup so consistently throughout the season, take a little bit more of a step as an NHL forward. But maybe, like Brock McGinn, maybe that's a step that he takes next season.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's go back to Skinner for just half a second on this. 277 shots on goal, Michael. That was 12th overall in the National Hockey League. 12th. Number one, care to guess?
Connor McDavid?
No.
Sidney Crosby?
No. You're missing the obvious guy.
Oh, Alex Ovechkin.
He's number one with 355 shots on goal. Yeah. Actually, Jeff Skinner had three more shots than Connor McDavid. McDavid had 274 shots on goal this year. But Taylor Hall, Brendan Gallagher, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, Patrick Kane, Vinny Trocheck, Vladimir Tarasenko, Evander Kane, Brent Burns, Tyler Seguin, and Alex Ovechkin. Only players to have more shots on goal than Jeff Skinner in the entire National Hockey League this year. So 11 players.
Yeah, and I guess to note, too, is Jeff Skinner's shooting percentage typically in double digits was at 8.7% this year, which is – I couldn't do – well, I guess his career average is 10.7, so he was – a couple percentage points under that. If he's in double digits, he's probably at the 30-goal mark.
Yeah.
So.
One would think.
That's something to note, too. And
by the way, I brought up just for giggles, who was the shooting percentage leader in the NHL this year. They based it on having a shot on goal a game.
So someone was 100%.
82 shots. No, you had to have 82 shots.
Okay,
so basically a shot on goal per game,
and there was
a minimum that they had, either 82 shots on goal or 82 games that you had played. William Karlsson, for the Vegas Golden Knights. Wild Bill, as they're calling him. He had a big goal last night against the LA Kings. He had 43 goals this season and scored at an incredible 23.4%.
That's not sustainable.
No, he did it on 184 shots.
So he probably won't score as many goals next year.
That would be
brace
my guess.
Yourself now, Golden Knights fans.
Well, that's all right.
They're enjoying it. I mean, what a run that's been.
This is fun to watch. We'll get into a little playoff hockey a little bit later on here as well on the Canes Cast, episode 38. Happy birthday to Michael Smith. I think that's the official name of this episode. All right, so from the forwards, let's go to the power play. Consistency, again, is the word, or lack thereof, and this is where we can group in the defense a little bit more. Justin Falk is a guy who has been counted on to be a power play specialist. What was it, a few years ago, where he had two seasons ago?
Like 12,
the first 12 goals of the season he scored were on the power play.
Yeah.
So great stuff that was there. In this year, it just wasn't there for Justin Falk. Again, another player who was playing through some stuff for the Carolina Hurricanes. But just 8 goals for Justin Falk. This is a guy who's been a 3-time All-Star. You count on him to provide a little bit more from the blue line and on the power play. Now, while that's being said, Noah Hanifin did contribute to the power play. His game flourished a little bit more with the man advantage. But it goes back to me, just the consistency for the Carolina Hurricanes offense where it would vanish or dry up. And this is a chicken versus the egg question. But watching it night in, night out, Mike, I don't know if the Canes' 5-on-5 play fed off of the power play or the power play fed off of the 5-on-5 play. Generally, they'll tell you that if the 5-on-5 is going good, your power play is going to go good. If you're struggling 5-on-5, you're going to struggle to score with a man advantage. But for the Canes, it seemed to me that when the power play was knocking in goals, the guys had more confidence, the bump-up shifts, everything like that seemed to be a little bit better as opposed to when they were searching for power play goals. They were finding 5-on-5 goals this year. Not a ton, but they were finding them. And it was the power play and the chances that they had where it seemed that they would press when they'd get to the man advantage instead of just letting it come happen and find a way to score a goal.
Yeah, I feel like it went through stretches where it was really good and they would score a power play goal in 5-6 straight games, and then you'd go through a dry spell where in a stretch of 5 or 6 games, it would be 0-for-20 or so.
Yeah.
And on nights where, on a lot of these one-goal games, and the Hurricanes have played their fair share of one-goal games, or games at least where it would be 3-2 or 2-1 coming into the last, 2 minutes of the game, and then the other team would score a couple empty net goals, and then the score ends up 4-1 or whatever. But in those types of games, that's when the power play can make a difference. That's when it can be a difference maker. And you talk about winning the special teams battle on a nightly basis, and there were a number of times this season where the Hurricanes, working in tandem, their penalty kill wouldn't get it done, their power play wouldn't get it done, and they're on the wrong side of the special teams equation and end up losing the game. And something as simple as that, as a power play goal here or a power play goal there, could change the dynamics of a game because you just – It goes past the 2 minutes that you're on the power play, because then, if the other team gets a big kill, if the goaltender makes some big saves, they get momentum, and it goes from there. Whereas if you have a power play that's generating a lot of chances, that ends up, scoring a goal maybe late in the power play, you've got all the momentum in the world. So it goes past that simple, 0-for-2, 0-for-3, whatever statistic, because then those misfires have ramifications on the game after that as well. And I think the Hurricanes would like to be on the positive side of 20% in terms of their power play percentage. They were at, 18.4, which ranked 22nd in the league. Now,
44 power play goals this year, Michael.
A couple teams that qualified for the playoffs finished below them in terms of power play effectiveness, the Ducks, the Blue Jackets,
Columbus was 25th in the league on the power play.
Yeah. But they also, on the flip side of that, those teams have had better penalty kill percentages. Well, except for Columbus. Columbus is a bit of an aberration.
Columbus is a really good 5-on-5 team in Sergei Bobrovsky.
But if you look at the top 10 in the league on power play, most of those teams qualified for the postseason. In fact, I think all but maybe two of them did. And so that
people are going to want to know who the two of them are.
The Canucks and the Islanders.
That is right.
So,
well, I mean, that's two teams. Yes.
Yes. Those are the two teams. So I think, you know, the Hurricanes would like their power play percentage to be on the positive side of 20 for the season. Just because that's a better indicator of where you are offensively as a team. Of course, you know, we pointed out the couple of outliers below the Hurricanes. But then again, then you have to be a really good 5-on-5 team, and the Hurricanes weren't really good 5-on-5. They were just fine. And that's kind of that's kind of the story of the whole season, was just not being able to get over that hump. They were fine.
And that, again, comes back to what we've talked about for this team, consistency. Now, let's do this. It's not armchair anything. But what's missing in the forward mix in your eyes? What isn't there that needs to be there, that has to get here for the Canes to be? More consistent 5-on-5 scoring, more consistent on the power play, or maybe just a tougher group to play against up front. If we're going to go into the offseason and say, not a player, but an identity, a thing, what is missing for the Carolina Hurricanes up front? I have two things that are missing, two things that I'd like to see added.
Well, they need top six talent. And that's, I guess, more to the player situation. It doesn't really matter how you get it. Top six talent is necessary, just because that adds skill. That adds the element of skill that I believe this forward group is currently missing. I also think they need more desire, more moxie to get to the front of the net and create chaos, because that's, you know, players, head coach Bill Peters, they all talk about it. That's how you score goals in the National Hockey League, is being able to get to the front of the net. Jordan Staal does it very well. Sebastian Aho, even though he's not as thick as Jordan Staal, can get to the front of the net. Even you look at Derek Ryan, who scored 15 goals this year. A lot of his goals were him finding a way to get to the front of the net and get a rebound. So those two things, some added skill and some added moxie to get to the front of the net, I think vastly improve this forward core.
All right, when you bring that up, I have to point out, every time you mention moxie or playing thick, you make the exact same hand gesture. Every time we've done the Canes cast, you're like, player needs to get a little thick.
That's when the video, for folks watching the video portion of the podcast that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
You would see it.
Just picture, remember playing Donkey Kong as a kid, when Donkey Kong would grab a barrel? That's kind of what Michael Smith is doing right there.
You need a Donkey Kong on the team.
All right. So this is going to lead me into the, if you like it, take it. If not, send it back. But before we get there, the two things that are missing for me, one I 100% agree with. You call it moxie. I'll call it grit. I'll call it sandpaper. I'll call it irritants. Guys who are just hard to play against. You hate playing against them. And that takes a lot of forms, so I'm kind of covering a couple of bases. That can be big guys who park their carcass in front of the net and say, try to move me. Try to move me! And you can't do that. Or guys who get under the opponent's skin. I go back to that New Jersey game here where Justin Williams just absolutely got into the head of Taylor Hall and took him out of the game. And that's part of it. Psychology is part of it, but a player like that, so that grit, sandpaper, moxie, or thickness. Michael didn't. I said it, so Michael did not make the hand gesture to it. The other thing, when you say top six skill, this is what's going to lead to the, if you like it, take it. If not, send it right back. But a playmaker. I think there's goal scorers on this team. I think Sebastian Aho's a goal scorer. Jeff Skinner's a goal scorer. Teuvo Teravainen, like you already did a very good dissertation on. When he learns when he shoots the puck, good things happen. So I think he's a goal scorer, more so than a playmaker or a setup guy. So I think there are goal scorers on this team and guys who are ready to maybe break out, who are going to get called up to be goal scorers. I don't know if that's Warren Fogle. I don't know if that's Warren Fogle or if it's Valentin Zikov or if it's Alexei Sarola or somebody else down in the minors or maybe somebody who's going to come in here. But the goal scorers are there. I'm talking about a guy who you put him in the middle and his wingers instantly are better. A number one center, that kind of playmaker. And a guy like that helps out your power play. He helps out your 5-on-5. It brings more balance to the lines. And that's what I'm looking for when I say this is what's missing for the Canes. So my offseason wish list for the forwards, that playmaker, that number one center,
and skill.
You can ask around. Yeah, it's highly
pure
skilled.
Skill. Yeah,
and a lot of people can, you know, mistake it. Pure skill in hockey comes into Patrick Laine is a goal scorer. Pure skill. And I'm not going to do the "we don't need goal scorers here" thing. Trust me, I'll take a Patrick Laine on my team any day of the week. But if we're looking at what the Canes can add, that guy who makes the players around him better goal scorers, more dangerous players. And maybe it goes to skill, but if you told me I can have a 30-goal scorer or a 60-assist guy, and, like, those are my options, I'm leaning for the 60-assist guy because – that means we're getting 60 goals, not just 30.
Yeah.
So,
and intrinsically, the person who can make plays is probably also skilled enough to at least score 15 to 20.
Oh, so yeah. I'm looking for an 80-point guy.
Yeah.
Who's a 20 and 60. Like, if you want me to, if you told me if I can get a 30 and 30, or a 20 and 60, I'm taking the 20 points more. I'm taking the 10 fewer goals, but I'm taking the assists.
And maybe that's Tara Vinen in a couple
maybe,
of years.
Maybe.
He was 20-40 this year, a bit on the plus side of both of those. But, you know, he definitely is trending in that direction of someone who can both set up plays and find the back of the net himself.
I mean, Sebastian Aho was 4 assists away from it. But I'm talking about a guy who knows how to make those players, get the puck to players in the right position. And if I can go, can I go old school on this?
Sure, go old school.
I'm going to go old school. An Adam Oates type player. You know, Adam Oates was a guy who'd score 20 but have 75 assists. You know, ask Brett Hull. He'd get the puck to, he'd have one of the best goal scorers ever, but he'd get the puck to Brett Hull when he needs to. So that leads us to our very, very favorite friend, Mr. Will Farrell.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
So here's my query to you, Michael Smith, on your birthday. Would you rather this offseason go out and sign a 45-50 goal scorer, feeling that that would be the thing that the Carolina Hurricanes need? Because we're going to get that question coming up from the fans here, and that's fine. Or would you rather have that number one center who's more of the playmaker, more of the distributor of the puck, rather than a cash-it-in-the-net guy?
I think both of those would be terrific.
Don't hedge!
Both would be wonderful. I'm going with the center. I think the Hurricanes could use a boost of center depth, and that's not even to account for if Marty Natchez, you know, makes the jump to the big club next year. Could you be looking at a question mark, you know, first line center, and then something like Aho, Stahl, Natchez, you know, some combination of that down the middle. I think a top six center, a first line center, even drastically improves this team. More so than a winger who could score 40 goals. Could.
Yep. Yeah. That's, I mean, if we're talking about where the money's going to go, that's it. Do you have one for me?
No.
Of course you don't. So it leads us to.
Well, we had a good discussion earlier, completely unrelated to hockey, but it was about Leonardo DiCaprio and his best movies.
Well, we can get to that afterwards.
Okay.
We can do that afterwards.
Well, my question would have been just take it or send it back him as an actor.
I've enjoyed some of his roles, but I'll send him.
You're not as high on him as I guess
the rest of the world.
Yeah,
I know that.
I'm higher on him than that.
See, I prefer Matt Damon to Leonardo DiCaprio any day of the week.
Yeah.
If we're gonna go like similar age range things that they've done, I enjoy Matt Damon's films more than I enjoy Leonardo DiCaprio's. Titanic.
Oh, it was garbage.
Just
and
trash.
The fact that it won Best Picture that year was. Just a sham.
Exactly.
And I didn't like him at all in that. I think the first movie I liked
disliked him in more roles than I'm like, oh, he was good.
I think I liked him first in The Departed.
I liked him in Catch Me If You Can with Tom Hanks.
And when Gangs of New York was okay.
No? That movie's garbage.
That's fine.
Oh, there are people I know who love that movie, and you can at me on this one. That movie, you throw out Daniel Day-Lewis, no. There's no reason. Daniel Day-Lewis is the only reason to watch that movie. Only reason.
I also
Cameron Diaz, terrible Irish accent. Leonardo DiCaprio. No. Just bad.
Well, and we talked about Inception. I really liked Inception. I really liked him in Inception.
I really liked Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Inception.
Too.
He was great, but it's one of those movies. And I like Christopher Nolan. But it is one of those movies where at the end of it, I'm like, so I sat all the way through this, and it's up to me to decide, is he in the okay?
So I think you're sending him back as an actor.
Yeah, if I could.
Well,
I'll send him
back.
I'll
take him then.
You can take him. I mean, it's not that we have fault. And there are movies that I like him in. I loved him in The Aviator playing Howard Hughes. I'm sitting here going, wow, 3 hours of Leonardo DiCaprio. This is going to – and I liked it because he bought into the character and he became the character and it was really, really good. And I just like the story that they built around it. But most of the stuff he's done, like The Wolf of Wall Street, hated him in the movie. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to be stuck here forever watching this. Few scenes save that, but not enough. Or a few scenes worth watching.
It's
Thank
a really
you, Mar-
long movie.
Thank you, Margot Robbie.
A very well done movie.
And the whole thing where they're humming in the office and all that. I just want to be like, all of you people need to go to jail. All of you.
Oh. And they did.
Yeah.
So
I was happy. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm sitting here going, no, I want you to go to jail now and save me the next 2 hours of my life.
This is a long movie.
Too long.
Anyway, back to hockey.
All right.
We got some questions.
We do.
From some folks.
By the way, speaking of questions, and I always ask you this, if you got one, you take it. Our good friend Chuck Caton.
Bro.
Proud noise only.
He has questions all the time on his broadcasts.
All the time.
For Chuck and the letter K.
Caton's Corner.
You can't come up with one. You know we're doing the Caton's cast. That's
just
your
came
birthday.
Up with one.
Well, I know.
But it just wasn't hockey related.
That's fine.
It stemmed from a discussion earlier that we had off the microphone.
And I already told you, my four favorite movies with him, Catch Me If You Can, The Aviator. Then you brought up The Departed, and I forgot about him in The Departed because I liked everything else about it. And then What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which is one of his earlier movies.
I even
Very depressing movie. Don't watch it if you're happy.
Yeah.
But moving on.
I like him as an actor. It's just his earlier stuff isn't the best.
Matt Damon, every day. We can get into that a little bit later on.
All right.
I know there are people don't like Matt Damon.
So last week, you asked Twitter.com for some questions, and we got.
Well, you are the web's Michael Smith.
Yes. Sometimes.
No, all the time.
Always. Carl Kikis. I believe we pronounced his name horrendously wrong, and one of the first.
The first or second one where we ever took
questions. It was a really early episode of the podcast, and he's kept his name the same since then.
Greatly appreciated,
too. In the chance that we answer another question, and here we are. He says, we know Peters is going to coach Canada at the World Championship. Which players are going to play in the tournament? And the answer is, we don't really know just yet. I believe only Canada has announced their World Championship roster,
yep.
And there are no Hurricanes on that roster. There are some question marks elsewhere. I think some guys have to figure out, you know, maybe some lingering injuries.
Yeah. For the Americans, I know that Brett Pesce can't play for Team USA with his situation. I think Justin Falk's in the same boat where he's got something that's aggravated and doesn't want to go through that, which is why he was shut down the last few games of the season.
Yeah.
So there's two right there. I believe Jacob Slavin has said no to Team USA. The last I heard, I think he was asked on locker cleanout in a meeting with the media. And then there's a couple other guys who still have to decide if they're going to play. So Noah Hanifin, most notably, being one for Team USA. And then I think that the Finns still have to figure out if they're going to play, if Teuvo Teravainen and Sebastian Aho are going to go play, and some players for Sweden have to figure that out. I think Elias Lindholm is on the fence.
Yeah,
because we asked him about it.
I think there's some question marks.
Yeah, he had some question marks that he has to work out as well for the upcoming season. And Victor Rask clearly is out because he had the off-season shoulder surgery.
But so that'll get sorted out.
Actually, in-season shoulder
in
surgery.
Season. That'll get sorted out in the coming weeks with the World Championship slated to start on the 5th, I believe it is,
yep.
May 5th?
May 5th.
So
Cinco de Mayo. Carl also has another question that we're going to get to coming up.
Okay.
And it is kind of based on one of our earlier podcast discussions that we've had. So, Carl, you're going to get a bonus round here just because we never say your last name right. This one comes in from Brian Kurtz. We could kind of maybe put this one next week or in the goalie question.
We'll give it a quick answer.
Should we expect to see the same goalie tandem next season?
Quick answer, no.
That would be my answer.
Just because I don't think, and this is purely based on you know, what I'm thinking and what we've seen. I just don't think you can I don't think you can roll out the same two after not making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And just how the season unfolded, you have to find something different. Whatever the combination it'll be, we will see. This from – well, go ahead.
I was just going to say that doesn't mean that the Hurricanes won't have both goaltenders still in the organization somehow. I just don't think you can start the season with both Ward and Darling as your 1-2.
No, that's the
There are options. There are many options.
Yeah,
and Cam Ward has to consider, too, his future and if he's going to – if he's going to retire and all of that. So lots of question
marks. The Canes have to find out if they're going to re-sign him. So, again, yeah. The offseason will be interesting for the Carolina Hurricanes. This from Chris Hooks. If the moon was made of barbecue spare ribs, would you eat it? Well, the answer is, of course.
Yes, especially if they're Barbie Barn ribs.
Oh, Montreal.
If you're ever in Montreal, visit the Barbie Barn. It's a special place.
The old schoolers know what we're talking about.
The old schoolers.
By the way, yes, I would, and I'd go back for seconds. And I'd polish it off.
Yeah. Sorry.
With a tall, cool beverage.
Advance apologies to the ocean. The tides. But
whatever.
The moon's gone.
We can live without tides. But follow up, in all seriousness, where does this team need to make its biggest step next year?
It needs to make the playoffs.
Well, no.
I mean, that's.
But I guess I'm going to take this as, you know, where on the ice does this team need to make its biggest step? We can go in the, you know, ethereal consistency.
I'm going in the broad sense. It needs whatever it takes on the ice. It needs to take the step to get back to the postseason.
I'm going to go with they need to find a way to have, and it goes, we've already addressed it here on the forward, so it's perfect. Consistent offense, night in, night out.
Yeah.
This has to be a team that averages close to 3 goals a game. You know, that you can't be around 2.5. You got to be around 2.8, somewhere around there. Because defensively, the funny thing is, with the question marks and the inconsistency that was given at times in net, and, you know, maybe the defense going through some growing pains, some struggles at times, that wasn't ever – The funny thing was, the defense for me never really came up to me where I'm like, ah, this really needs to get way better. The offense needs to be much more consistent than what we've seen, much more. A few other things that we get into, and, you know, there was a good question that was asked by Carl, and this is one that I like, but before we get to Carl, Frank has one. Between the two of you, who's older and wiser, and what are your plans this summer? Frank, our good friend SoCal Kaniac, I am older, but I am definitely not wiser than the Web's Michael Smith.
Yoda's the wisest and that the oldest. Perfect.
Thank you.
What are your plans for the summer?
I've got a lot of trips planned.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Going to lots of cities to see lots of music.
And eat lots of food.
Probably. I don't need to, but probably.
Well, we all need food to survive.
Well, that is true, but not lots of food. No, I'm going to go see a couple of bands. Going to go see this band out of Ireland. Think they can make it, called U2.
Never heard of them.
I predict some things.
Big on the indie scene?
Predict some things for them.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go see a band out of the UK called Radiohead. They're playing Montreal.
Nope. Just unfamiliar.
Well, you know, they were big when I was in school. And then they kind of went away. You might have missed them.
No,
they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And then some band led by a former drummer of Nirvana.
Nope. It's escaping me.
It's called the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think these guys have a future.
Yeah.
I'm going to call that one. So,
they're
yeah.
playing Wrigley, right?
Playing Wrigley
yeah,
Field.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You got anything planned?
Just a couple trips. But we like to get away from things, kind of disconnect and recharge the batteries.
Yep. Any, like, going, like, out of the country, in the country?
Yep.
Are you a cruise guy? Or are you, like, a staying on the continent guy?
I'm leaving the country.
Oh.
Never coming back.
Bonsoir, mon ami. Don't you
no,
dare do that.
I'll
oh, and I'm going to be a godfather.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
In May. My good friend from college has asked me to be the godfather to his child. And being Sicilian, I have no choice but to say yes.
Does that mean a trip to Buffalo is instead?
That is correct.
So that means Gabriel's Gate and Wings.
That is also correct.
Yes.
My buddy is in San Diego, but his family's in Buffalo, so they're doing the...
San Diego.
Doing the christening there, exactly. The translation of the city was lost centuries ago. Founded by the Germans, though.
I don't believe that's true.
Well, when in Rome. There's a question that I'm looking for, submitted by our good friend Dane. He said he submitted it on Twitter, but I have yet to find it. So I'm working on that one, my
friend.
While
you do that, I'll dial up another one.
Go right ahead.
Do we have another one?
Go right
I
ahead.
Know there was the discussion. Was it Carl Kikis?
Yes.
With the discussion about the points and trying to see where teams are at around Thanksgiving.
It's a good question, and he's borrowing it from Elliot Friedman's 31 thoughts.
Which, again, if you read anything each week, make it 31 thoughts because it's very good.
Read Tweet Mail brought or to you by Tijuana Flats.
And also Tweet Mail presented by Tijuana Flats, but also 31 thoughts, Elliot Friedman, who's very up to speed on everything happening in the National Hockey League.
Yes. So
he wrote last week, I believe it was, in last week's edition of 31 Thoughts, about how he keeps a list of teams who I believe it's more than 4 points out of the playoffs at Thanksgiving, and how many of those teams then get into it.
Yes.
And his overarching theory is that if you're – and it's not just as cut and dry as in it or out of it. It's 4 points or more out of it. His theory being that if you're buried in the standings or too far out of it, it's too tough of a hill to climb. And that's the basic theory. And I think, we've talked about it more as a basic in or out at Thanksgiving. We then pushed it back to the end of the calendar year.
Yes.
As New Year's Day is being in or out. If you start, I think, mixing in how many points out, you're getting a bit more into it then in terms of how you're looking at the standings. But it's an interesting discussion to have. It's an interesting theory to think about. I do think it holds some weight. I mean, we've seen it in previous years when the Hurricanes maybe stumble out of the gate and then they're in too deep of a hole by the time November, December rolls around and they have some more home games. But I don't know. What do you think?
I think for me, and I kind of gave Carl a little bit more of an answer, as much as you can in 140 characters or more. I think I'm actually on
280
more. Yeah, 280. So I tried to give answers on that, but Twitter, you can kind of both spin your wheels when you're saying, hey, this is where we're at, and be on the same page. When I look at it, it was the American Thanksgiving. If you're not in the playoffs, you're not in the playoffs.
It's a very cut and dry in or out.
That's what they say. And this year, a quarter of the teams that made the playoffs were out on American Thanksgiving. Out. So 16 teams make it. 4 teams were out. Ottawa was in, by the way. Like, super in. And they fell out. So I think that I based it in that earlier conversation was based on American Thanksgiving, and it's not within. It was if you're above the cut line, and the number is like something ridiculous, like 89%, or they try to sell it. And I'm like, you know, I don't think that's right. And don't get me wrong, a quarter in is still, you know, 75% of the teams that were in get in. So that's a huge number. I get it. But 4 out of 16 to me doesn't seem as impossible as Elliot Friedman's number, which was 1 on November 1st of within 4 points. But he also has a much larger sample size that he's going off of. I'm going off of 16, and I think if you go on November 1st, it was like Buffalo, Arizona, and he's right with the numbers. They're right on. I'm not saying that this is a thing you can argue, but it was like Buffalo, Arizona, Edmonton, and I think Minnesota was the only team that was 4 or more and made it into the playoffs, which that's fine, and that's what you can look at. But this is also one of these things, Michael, this is not rant-worthy because Elliott's numbers are good and they're appropriate, but you can expand those numbers or you can decrease them to make them say what you want to say, but his numbers are valid. You cannot have to, and I've said this for every sport ever, you don't win the Super Bowl, you don't win the Stanley Cup, you don't win the World Series in the first month of the season, but you sure as heck can keep yourself out of it by having a poor start. And, you know, the Canes didn't have a poor start this year.
No, they had really one of their better starts in recent memory.
But it raises a good conversation, but it also changes the conversation from which was the traditional, if you're in on this date, you're in. That's what it brokered to. For me, it's more that week of Christmas to New Year. If you're not in on December 31st, you're not in. I mean, it's almost impossible to get in. Where if on November 1st, if you're 4 points out or 6 points out, which it's, again, a really valid argument to bring up, if you're more than 4 points out of the final playoff spot and you're thinking, well, that's only two games and there's still probably 70-plus to go, but it creates that thing of you're chasing the whole year trying to get into it.
It's just like playing in a game when you get down 2-0 early and then you're chasing the game. You just don't – you don't want to set yourself up to where the pressure is just – almost unattainable down the stretch, where you're just where you're playing under this immense pressure of we've got to win every single game. You want to, and we've said it, this probably really the word of the podcast, you have to be consistent from start to finish. It's a marathon. You've got to be that team that can maintain above the level of 500, and the Hurricanes haven't been able to really jump over that and remain there consistently.
Yeah, and again, Elliot Friedman's 31 thoughts. If you don't read, if you're a hockey fan and you're not reading it, find a way to read it because it is outstanding. He is 99.9% of the time on top of everything, and that 0.01 is usually somebody else's fault when he's not on it.
And he's a great guy too.
Great guy, great hockey writer. His thoughts. The 30th thought was this: keep track of the stat. Teams 4 points out of the playoffs after games played on November 1st reached the postseason. He goes, Minnesota was the only one to do it. Florida fell short. Arizona, Buffalo, Edmonton, and Montreal. So there were six teams that were met that criteria, and only one team got in. So it's, again, it's a valid argument. It's a really good point to make. But also at the same time, I think it's a different kind of question opposed to
– it's a bit of a – it introduces some nuance versus just the straight in or out of the playoffs by a certain date.
And that's why I didn't buy the American Thanksgiving, because people want to sell it as, if you're not in the playoffs on American Thanksgiving, you're not in. Quarter of the league made it in who wasn't in on American Thanksgiving.
And they're wrong because they called it American Thanksgiving.
It's just Thanksgiving.
It's just Thanksgiving.
Well, the Canadians have their own. We'll give them that one. All right, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. Those are all. Oh, no. Ooh. We have one more.
Uno más?
The old Facebook.
Oh, questions from Facebook.
It's from Andrew Edge. Do you think Patrick Laine looks like Beast from a local theater production of Beauty and the Beast, sent with pictures to support?
Yeah, I think it's spot on. Right? Like,
if I asked you, Michael Smith.
I mean, look, this one is, you can't see this, but it is spot. If he had hair, if he put a wig on and horns, he wouldn't even need the beard because he already has it.
if we get enough people react to this question, I'll put those pictures up that show it. The comparison here. But yes, he looks like right there. That's the Beast, period. That doesn't work when we're saying look right there and we're on an audio medium.
Right.
But
look with your ears.
What would our good friend Chuck Caton say? Does he look like the Beast?
Proud noise only.
Absolutely. That's correct. All right. Well, that'll do it for this edition. Happy birthday to you, the Web's Michael Smith.
Thanks, my friend. It's been a fun season, and we'll get back with you all next Monday.
Yep.
And we'll discuss defensemen and penalty kill and break down any other questions you might have. Send them along on Twitter to TV's Mike Maniscalco or myself, and we'll get to him next week.
Yep, it's at Mike Maniscalco or at M. Smith Canes.
Mine's a little harder because my name is unfortunately common.
Well, and my last name, people don't know how to spell.
You're related to the comic, distantly.
We figured out, we think we have a cousin in common, which, again, still one of the oddest moments of the season this year for me. NHL referee skates up to me. Gotta ask. Yes? Are you related to Sebastian Maniscalco? What? No. Well, I think we got a cousin in common, but that's about it. Really? It's such a weird last name. All right.
Next thing you know, he'll be asking you for tickets to his show.
Well, I think that's what it was all about. Like, if he was my brother, hey, can you get me into the show? No, I cannot. And by the way, any questions as well? It's the summertime, so we open it up.
Yeah.
Food.
Things are going to get really weird.
You want to know about food, movies, rooms on the road? We might have to do just a full what goes on the road kind of deal. Where, how much time is spent in a hotel room? Like, people think, oh, I have all of my friends. This is starting an aside here. All of my friends think that all we do is just stay up for 75 hours and hang out in these cities. I'm like, no, the majority of the time, Michael Smith is in his room writing. I'm in my room doing research, prepping for the TV broadcast. And, you know, we get a couple hours where...
Warming up the vocal cords. How now, brown cow?
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
Unique New York.
Snoopy was killed by a spear. Yeah, all of these things happen. But at the same time, it's a lot of... We're in the hotel room. There's a... We'll let you in on a term. In the wrapper, that means we're going to bed. Hey, yes. You're going to go out? Nope. I'm going to eat right. Some dinner, and I'm going right...
In the wrapper.
And that's one of Michael Smith's favorite sayings.
That's great.
I hope you have a very happy birthday.
Thank you.
Have your lovely wife take you out for a nice dinner.
I need to get that as a drop.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll do a live podcast this summer, too.
I think we should. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can scout that out. Anything after July, you're on your own.
Let us know if you're interested, everybody.
So
live podcast.
That's like I told you. If you want me on it, make sure it's pre-July to guarantee it.
Oh, that sounds...
I got a lot of vacation time.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
You'll be MIA.
Yeah, quite literally, perhaps. But no, I've got a lot of vacation time, and my wife has a lot of vacation time. My wife.
Your wife.
And usually have to burn it up in like late July,
well, that's
August.
That's the downtime, right? Because really nothing happens.
Well, then. After July 1st, free agency, yeah. There's some training. Do we know when rookie camp's going to be?
It's like the last week of June. It's draft, schedule, free agency, rookie camp. It's all jammed into a couple of weeks.
Yeah, nothing happens in the middle of July.
No.
Which is important because that's when I'll be going up to Montreal.
Bonjour.
And I will visit the Barbie barn. You.
Tremendous.
Already going to happen.
Tremendous.
Thank you. That'll do it for this edition, episode 38 of the Canes Cast. Hey, it's Mike Smith's birthday.
Thank you. With TV's Mike Maniscalco.
That's me. He's the Web's Michael Smith.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.